Right, we're back. We got a little temporary technical difficulties with the old good old computer system, and while our board op works on this, we will get it fixed and probably finish those other ads right there. In the meantime, we've learned today that UVA wide receiver, a senior, Miles Gooch, had knee surgery today. Feel bad for Miles Gooch. If anybody was having a breakthrough end of career season, you know, good catches, big catches for first downs and touchdowns, and just, you know, good blocking on the perimeter. And you just hate to see a guy work so hard like he had. You know, in high school he was a quarterback, a running quarterback, and so he had to make a lot of adjustments to learn how to be a contributor as a wide receiver. And you just hate to see a guy get hurt the way he did at Carolina. That was a scary moment. He got blindsided by that defensive back on that pass over the middle. And
do we know what kind of knee surgery it was? Was it ligaments, ACL, or we don't know?
We don't know that. That hadn't been released, and we won't get that. That'll be filtered out maybe by a teammate or somebody like that. The school no longer releases that kind of information.
Well, regardless, he's a senior, right? So his career is over.
It ended.
So he'll, I guess, get ready for maybe the tryouts for the pros in the spring.
That's absolutely the truth.
And hopefully he'll be physically ready to do that.
Absolutely. All right, so we're going to jump to a quick break now. We've got the technical difficulties knocked out. This will be short. We'll be right back, and we'll have Dr. Andrew Bogle from Ortho Virginia. So stay with us.
We got Dr. Andrew Bogle from Ortho Virginia on the line. By the way, this is Hobbo, Frank, Chris Sill in the studio. And Dr. Bogle, we appreciate your taking a few minutes to join us tonight.
Yes, guys, absolutely. Excited to be here.
We got news today that Miles Gooch did have surgery on his knee. We don't know exactly what the situation is. He's a senior, so his playing days at Virginia are over. But talk a little bit about the rehab after knee surgery. We're kind of assuming it might be ligament, some kind of ligament damage. Might he be ready for some of the pro tryouts in the spring?
Well, sure. I mean, it certainly depends on the severity of the injury and what needs to be reconstructed. And we're doing a little bit of hypothesizing here. But anytime you have a ligament reconstruction where they have to recreate and reposition the ligaments that have been torn, it certainly is a longer scenario than some of the other things like meniscus and cartilage injuries. But you are usually thinking at a minimum of 6 months for recovery from one of those ligamentous injuries.
Dr. Bogle, this is Frank. Thank you again for joining us on Who's Talking. Demetrius Nicholson is applying for a medical hardship redshirt because of his ankle foot injury, and the foot injury was that infamous turf toe. Talk to us a little bit about that and what you know about it, and he's had a very, very hard time overcoming this thing, and he's a superior athlete. He was a Gatorade Player of the Year for State of Virginia coming out of the peninsula. And
sure.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, so I think turf toe gets a bad rap just because it sounds like something kind of innocuous, not a big deal. But a turf toe is essentially can be anywhere from just a minor sprain to essentially a traumatic dislocation of the big toe. And you think about any time you're planting and doing anything on the athletic field, particularly if you're a highly skilled athlete, you really are dependent on the great toe to transfer all your weight in your activities. So it gets kind of a bad rap because it seems like perhaps not a big deal, but it certainly can keep folks out for quite a long time, even if it does not require surgery.
Yeah, the interesting thing to me about the turf toe is it obviously was named back when a lot of teams played on artificial turf. Virtually everybody plays on grass now, but the football players in particular seem to still be having this happen. Any explanation for that?
Well, I think, you know, anytime you're playing a collision sport, I think it has little to do with the actual surface and more to do to the abuse you're putting on your body out on the gridiron. So I think certainly that hard surface from the traditional AstroTurf may have made it made it to get its name, but I don't think that it's going to go away with the new playing surfaces, unfortunately.
Dr. Bogle, what are you seeing, this fall from your experience with the high school athletes around Central Virginia? What kind of injuries?
Well, certainly, I specialize in hand and upper extremity types of injuries, so I see a lot of fractures. A lot of kids break their collarbones, break their hands, break their wrists, and things like that playing football. Certainly, you see the knee and ligamentous types of things, but, football is a collision sport, so you see these things from the minor sprains and strains and contusions to the fractures that need a little bit more attention. So seeing a good variety, unfortunately, from the athletes.
You know, would you say it's fair to say that injuries are still just a gigantic factor and that the frequency is greater than you would expect? The equipment has improved dramatically since the days that I played. I mean, the shoulder pads and hip pads and these things, and and the helmets, all that stuff is so vastly superior, and yet these injuries keep occurring.
By the way, they had leather helmets when Frank was playing, just to give you a perspective on that.
Darn right. We were tough in my day.
Well, I think we certainly have made a lot of progress in terms of our equipment, but again, it doesn't take away from the fact that these are people flying around and trying to, knock the heck out of each other. So the other factor is, I think even kids in high school, compared to even when I was in high school and playing, they're bigger, faster, stronger. And even if you have superior equipment, if you're flying around 100 miles an hour, unfortunately, folks are going to get banged up from time to time. But yeah. I think we're doing a good job of educating the athletic trainers and the coaches for signs for injury and things like that in order to prevent any of the any minor things from getting a little bit bad from neglect,
Yes. So.
All right, Dr. Bogle, we got to go to our bottom of the hour break, but we appreciate your support of the show as well as your time this evening, and we'll look forward to having you back.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Dr. Andrew Bogle, we're going to go to our bottom of the hour break. As mentioned, don't forget Tony Bennett when we come back. Stay tuned.
All right, we're back. This is Who's Talking. This is the second half hour, and we're expecting to hook up with head UVA basketball coach Tony Bennett in just a few moments. This seems to be the night of technical challenges.
Well, unless and until Coach calls in, I'll pretend to be Coach Bennett. You can ask me questions, and I'll answer any questions you want to know. But
all right, Jim, as coach, how do you deal with the fact that Virginia won the ACC title, both regular season and the ACC tournament, and somehow Duke and Carolina are preseason ranked slightly ahead of Virginia?
Well, there are two factors in that. One, it's the tradition of Duke and Carolina and the fact that they have banners hanging from the rafters representing their national championships. They also have very good players. Carolina has a lot of kids coming back, including Marcus Page, who I think has been voted as the preseason player of the year. He's a terrific player. Duke has some great young players.
And Carolina has some great young players, but guess what? Virginia has some outstanding young players joining the team, and I think Virginia's deeper than both those teams.
Well, I think Virginia's got a great chance to repeat as ACC champions.
There you go, Hobbo.
But from the standpoint of the preseason media poll, and the media poll remains, more voters in the state of North Carolina than there are elsewhere. We should get you on that Atlantic Coast Conference sports writers group. Have you joined that yet? But I'm a member of that. Gives me a chance to vote on some of these things. But nevertheless, I think it's just a matter of respect and tradition and the number of votes that come from within the state of North Carolina. But as you mentioned, some of the Virginia players, I think the coaches are probably just as happy not to be picked first because it takes some of the pressure off. But from the player's standpoint, they probably feel disrespected, and it'll serve as a motivation.
I was down at ACC Operation Basketball down in Charlotte last week, and had a good opportunity on a number of occasions to have some conversations and interview with Malcolm Brogdon and Darian Atkins. And, the University of Virginia can be very proud of these two young men. I tell you what, they kept, they were calm about the fact that they were picked fourth again in the conference. But you know what? I think they're both deeply motivated by that. And I think for the rest of the ACC, that was not a good recipe last year to have Virginia picked fourth.
And we'll see. I mean, I've been looking at the schedule, 30-game regular season schedule, 12 games before Virginia starts ACC play on January 3rd at Miami down in Coral Gables. A lot of tough games in the early part of the schedule, but a very particularly tough week early December where the Hoos have to play at Maryland. At the Comcast Center in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. Hard to believe that Maryland now is a representative of the Big Ten, not the ACC. And then, of course, the big game right here in Richmond, Saturday, December the 6th, when Virginia visits the Siegel Center against a VCU team that's also ranked in the top 20 preseason.
You know, I think the Rams are 16th in the coaches' poll. Virginia is 8th in the coaches' poll. And the AP came out today, and Virginia was 9th, I believe.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear where VCU, I'm sure they're in the top 20, and they deserve it.
You know what they say about preseason rankings. Yeah. That and $5 will buy you a cup of coffee, even at Starbucks. You know?
Yeah, so, I understand that. So, but both teams deserve the recognition, and that's what the preseason poll is about.
Well, preseason polls are based on last year's accomplishments. This year is, and of course, to some extent, the personnel you have in coming back. And the key with Virginia is you got Perantes, Brogdon, Anderson, Toby, Atkins, Nolte, and Gill. You got seven guys coming back who played a lot of minutes for the for a team that won 30 games and went to the Sweet 16 last year. So the interesting thing, and I, you know, Coach Bennett, maybe he got hung up in practice. The one thing I was going to ask him, normally coaches are going to look for an 8 or 9 man rotation, sometimes 10 men early in the preseason part of the schedule. And you got Hall, Stith, Shyock, Wilkins, and Salt. You got five freshmen, one redshirt freshman, and Devin Hall. So you got five guys maybe competing for those other two slots.
Maybe two or three spots, and others might be redshirted.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's been some indication that Salt might be redshirted unless one of the other big guys would happen to get hurt during the course of the year. But who knows? I don't know if Coach Bennett would actually reveal who may or may not be redshirted at this stage. But there's been indication that one or two of the freshmen might be redshirted.
Plus, Darius Thompson, the transfer from Tennessee, has to sit out this year.
Right.
But you talk about some practice competition this year.
No, and they'll be fighting for minutes.
The Barry Park Hill practice facility is probably pretty darn lively every afternoon around 4 o'clock.
Which is aptly named because Park Hill was pretty intense even in practice.
So was he?
Yeah, he took things seriously. Now, of course, Hobo, on the other hand, was a little bit, you know, a little more. Let's enjoy the Allen Iverson attitude toward practice. You know,
practice.
It doesn't count. Why? You know,
you're not talking about practice.
You don't keep stats in practice.
All right. But, so just some observations and comments about Malcolm and Darian. First of all, Malcolm Brogdon is probably one of the most intelligent interviews I've ever been around since 2009. He's very calm, and he can turn almost any question around to his favor. It's interesting. His parents were teachers, and a grandparent was a teacher. His mother was a teacher. And
I think his dad's a lawyer in Atlanta as well. So
he said his dad was very competitive, and that's where he got his competitive juices. But I think he got his interview skills from his mom. But, you know, initially his granddad wanted Malcolm to go to Harvard. However, his first visit was to UVA, and he pretty much committed right away. He also looked at some schools like Clemson and Vandy, but you know, in the end, I think he immediately gelled and clicked with Tony Bennett on the whole Christian theme topic and work hard and practice hard and
play
hard.
You know, both Brogdon and Isaiah Wilkins have come through Greater Atlanta Christian Prep School down there, and I think Coach Bennett has done a good job recruiting that type of kid. And the great thing about it, not only are they terrific basketball players, but they're good students and articulate, as you mentioned. So that, it's a positive for the University of Virginia. But, I mean, there's a lot to be excited about. I mean, there's every reason to believe that this Virginia team could be another team to win 30-plus games this year. They've got a challenging schedule. And, of course, our permanent partner in the ACC is Louisville. So we're going to play Louisville twice every year, which is a tough assignment.
Plus, but good interviews with Rick Pitino.
Absolutely. And
we're going to like that.
I see the last game of the regular season is March 7th, where we play at Louisville. And who knows, maybe the regular season title will be riding on that game at that point in time.
You know, we're going to have to save this tape because that could easily happen. You know, it's interesting. Four major games are sellouts of the ACC variety. I'm trying to remember them right now. I know that Virginia Tech at home, I believe. I'm pretty certain Louisville at home.
Certainly Duke at home.
Duke at home. And there was one more, Jim. Might have been, was it Wake maybe?
May have been Wake because that's a Saturday game.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain that was the other one. And a couple of the others are nearly sold out. And we would just encourage all our listeners, if you love basketball, for goodness sakes, get on the computer or get on the telephone and go get some tickets because you don't want to miss this team. This is the deepest, most athletic team Virginia has fielded since Ralph.
That's true because I played before Ralph.
Yeah. Yeah, Jim, the Mr. Defense himself, Jim Hobgood.
Well, right. I mean, you were talking athletic.
Yeah, know, yeah, so, yeah. You know, I'm just kidding. You know.
No, it's I think there's it's just going to be a fun season, you know. And I go back again, maybe that VCU game. I think the Siegel Center is an almost impossible place for a visiting team to win unless you have terrific guard play, and I think that's why Virginia does have a really good opportunity to come here to Richmond and maybe steal one against the Rams there at the Siegel Center, because you got a Brogdon, you got a Perontes, you got a Devin Hall coming off the bench, a Justin Anderson who can handle the basketball. So, you know, I mean, a lot of Coach Bennett's system on offense is to have guards and wing players interchangeably be able to handle the basketball and bring it up the floor.
Well, you know, and you look at how inviting a target Mike Toby is and Anthony Gill as release outlet pass outlets. Also Evan Noldy is pretty darn good with the basketball, and he's 6'8".
Well, and he's going to have to step up as a perimeter shooter this year, but Virginia certainly on paper has a very nice combination inside out, because you got the athletic and inside skills of Toby Gill and to some extent Darian Atkins.
Yep.
Complemented by the outside shooting of Perontes, Brogdon, Justin Anderson, Evan Nolte, and others. It'll be interesting to see these new kids to the extent to which they can shoot the ball well from the perimeter.
Well, I'm not worried at all. B.J. Stith represents a terrific find and a great get, and delighted that he and his family wanted to continue the tradition of having a Stith in uniform at UVA. At the same time, you know, this. Let's talk about the height of this team. It's interesting. Hobbo, do you know in the top 10 players, in theory on paper, only one Virginia player is under 6'5", and that's London Perentes. All the rest are 6'5 and up. So this is a tall team. It's a long team. You know, the coaches on defense talk about length. Bennett and those guys, they talk about length all the time. When these guys are pivoting and moving and rotating on defense, how are teams going to pass the basketball? The court is going to look small. So if Virginia can keep teams in the half-court game, I think that bodes well.
Well, the one thing you know about a Tony Bennett team is they're going to play defense. And, you know, you got these seven guys coming back with the experience that they have. They understand the system. I've said before, may have said on air, I was interested last year at the ACC tournament. The Greensboro paper had an interview with Anthony Gill, and he'd made reference to the fact that how long it took him to really comprehend the Tony Bennett defensive system. Whereby in every moment, dependent upon where the ball is on the floor, as a defender, you're supposed to be in a particular spot to protect that pack line defense system that Tony uses. So I think defensively the team's going to be good. The thing that made the difference last year and will be this year is the offensive skills that they have to complement the defensive skills. But anyway,
I think what we're going to do now is we're going to go to break. Obviously, Coach Bennett got tied up, and I'm sure he will reschedule. He's been a terrific guest in the past. We're going to jump to break now. When we come back, we'll have an extended version of the Olympic Sports Report, and we're going to talk about the upcoming games and maybe some more basketball. First game against JMU in Harrisonburg, November 14th, right around the corner. All right, we're going to break now. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.